The Word of God for our meditation this morning is found in Isaiah chapter 35. This is really a poetic vision or prophecy from Isaiah, talking about the peace that our Savior would bring when He came the first time and also when He will come again at the end of time. We hear these words from Isaiah. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be open, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Him who brings you peace and joy. When you would consider what pictures might bring your heart peace, calm, comfort, joy, well, I'm guessing you or most people would not imagine that the picture of ranks of men marching with machine guns and rumbling tanks behind them would be a picture of peace and comfort and joy. That kind of picture sounds like just the opposite. But that was not the case for some people who lived in Messina, Italy, on August 17th, 1943. The people of Messina had been suffering and had been waiting and had been longing to be freed from their captors. Their captors being Nazis. They longed for their captors to go, and then on August 17th, 1943, they saw the vision that gave their eyes and hearts and minds hope and joy. They saw men with machine guns and tanks rolling in. Those were American soldiers. And the person who brought them the most joy leading these people was, well, he kind of had an interesting outfit on too. He had a pistol on his hip that had a white handle. And when they saw him and his pistol, they rejoiced. His name was General George Patton. And when they saw those tanks and General Patton rolling in, the man who wore the pistol to remind everyone that he was a warrior and not a bureaucrat, they rejoiced. Why? Because they knew that those men were coming to free them, to save them. They knew that those weapons wouldn't be turned on them in destruction, but that those weapons would be turned on the enemy, and that was exactly the sight for their sore and suffering eyes to see. When we consider pictures of Jesus, especially at this time of the year, and we talk about pictures of Jesus that will give us peace and joy, I think we probably have in mind most of all, oh, how He's going to be pictured. Well, this will be during the 11 o'clock service. I think He'll be right about there. He'll be a plastic doll in the 11 o'clock service, but the picture is of Jesus as a cute and cuddly, snuggly even little baby. A baby who, in one of our hymns, apparently doesn't even make a sound on a silent night. A baby who makes even a dirty manger seem like a nice place. And that's true. That is how he came, and we can marvel in that picture of Jesus as a baby who does not make a sound except a coo by the cat. But if you are paying attention to our first reading from Isaiah, that is not the picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that Isaiah gave, especially when he comes again. How is he going to come? According to verse 4 of Isaiah 35, your God will come. How? He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. Whoa. He means business, yeah. Elsewhere in Scripture, especially in the book of Revelation, he's pictured as riding not a tank, but either a white horse coming in with a sword, double-edged, not a pistol, but a sword coming out of his mouth that can cut. He's wearing white robes, the bottom of which are dipped in blood because he has trampled his enemies. We're not going to put that picture in the children's Christmas program this morning, but brothers and sisters, know that that is a picture of your Lord and God. And at first, when we see that picture, maybe our hearts are filled with a little trepidation or fear. He's coming with divine retribution. He's coming with vengeance. Why? Because he hates sin. And he is a just and awesome and holy God who must bring retribution and vengeance upon sin and the sinner. He can't ignore it. What had happened was there was a demonic dictator who had schemes and dreams of taking over the entire human race, Satan, an angel who rebelled and brought others in the rebellion against him. An angel who infected this world with sin as he tempted our first parents to sin and brought that infection of sin into this world, an infection that every single human being is born with. And his vision as a demonic dictator is to have power over every soul, to tyrannize it, to enslave it, and to destroy it forever in the fires of hell. And he has his crosshairs set on you. Oh, but you know all this already, don't you? That's why you fight against sin. That's why you don't play around with it. That's why the greatest concern and worry in your life this day and each day and every day is not whether you're going to get everything done for Christmas, isn't whether you're going to buy this or that gift, isn't whether your kid's going to get into this program or that college, isn't whether how much money you have or how clean your house is or where you're going on vacation. Your greatest burning question every single day when you get up and when you go to bed is, Lord, help me to fight against sin today. Help me to hold on to you because the devil's coming after me. And let me forsake anything else in this world if it would take me away from you, because I will be destroyed forever in hell, and nothing is worth giving up for that. I will give my life, Lord, but save me. Oh, if only that were my greatest concerns each and every day. And I need this picture of Jesus to get my priorities and my eyes straight, and maybe you do too. The thing that I need to be concerned most about is not that December 25 is coming quickly again. It's not my health or wealth or happiness or comfort or who likes me or doesn't. The fact that my holy God is coming back with a vengeance, and he's going to pour that vengeance out upon sin, and in my heart and in my mind and in my words, thoughts, and actions, I have sinned again and again and again. And I've even been so arrogant that I've ignored this picture of him. And my prideful, arrogant, sinful nature at times has just thought, well, he's a cute, cuddly baby, or he's just a God of love. I can sin a little bit, and that's fine. We're saved by grace anyways, right? Love, love, love. These words from Isaiah wake us up. Know who's coming. And when my holy God comes back, I can't parade out in front of him. I can't jump in front of his white horse that he's riding on with his sword coming out of his mouth, his robes dipped in blood, and say, but Lord, I've tried to do good. Because he demands perfection. And I can't do it, and neither of you. So we fall on our faces and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. You are a holy and awesome and powerful God, and you're coming back again. And Lord, forgive me for forgetting that, for whining and complaining foolishly about things that are not as important as getting ready for this day. But then I go back to that verse again. He's coming back with vengeance, with divine retribution, but thank God, and I mean that literally, thank God that he inspired Isaiah to write a few more words there, six more. With divine retribution, he will come to save you. He's coming back again, not with the list of all of your dirty laundry and sins to wave in front of you and then take out his sword and do you in. He's coming back to save you. That's why he came the first time too. It really wasn't to give you an excuse to feel warm and fuzzy around December 25, and that's fine. It was to come to this earth to die for you. And so he rode into Jerusalem, and he didn't look anywhere near as impressive as Patton riding in on a tank. He rode in on a donkey, and his wartime strategy, it looked so strange the disciples didn't understand it. He said, this is how I'm going to win victory. I'm going to let myself be broken and beaten and crushed under the weight of God's wrath. I will ride into the fires of hell, and I will suffer, and I will die. I will take all the vengeance against sin that you deserve. And I'll have it poured out upon me. And then you will be forgiven. And then you will be saved. And then God will look at you not with vengeance and wrath, but with love and compassion and say, you are my child. You are forgiven. And then I will be able to say to you each and every day, you are free. You are not a slave to the dictator of hell named the devil. You are free. You are a saint. You are holy in my sight. You will not be spending eternity in wrath, but eternity with me. You are free. And that makes all the difference in the world if we know that. Then who do I see? A love, a God of love and compassion, a God who would heal the blind, who would raise the dead, a God who pours out his love upon me to give me comfort just where I need to be, but a God who is powerful and strong and mighty and awesome, so that when I am weak, so that when I feel I can't go another day, when I feel like this suffering will never end, he says, here I am. Look at me. Stop looking at yourself. Look at me, who came to live and die and rise for you, and who will come again to save you. And now that God invites you in these days especially to keep coming to him, keep praying to him. He wants to continue to prepare your heart until he comes. And he wants to give you peace and joy, even in the midst of your suffering. Because when you are suffering, you might be tempted to wonder if he's really there, if he's really in control, if all of this will ever end. So whatever it is that you're suffering with, he says, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will save you, I will give you rest. If it's your hectic schedule that's breaking the peace that should be in your heart, bring it to him. Pray that you would be able to, well, think about your priorities and what's really important more. If it's your health, your wealth, that's okay. You can bring it to him with all of your worries. If your sin, your temptation, bring it to him. He wants to assure you again that when he died on the cross, he didn't miss anything. that he died even for those big sins that you want to hide. Come back to him again and again and again so you can hear these promises that you will leap like a deer, that you can shout for joy because your God is in control and your God comes to save you. He's exactly the God that you need. We're seeing a lot of pictures of our God in this text. I've shared this illustration with some of you before, but when I was a boy, and I felt that I needed comfort and encouragement, I didn't put a picture of George Patton on my bedroom wall, although that would have made my dad proud. He was a professor of world history for 40 years, and he loved World War II. But I turned on this station. It was on PBS, and this man came out in a nice sweater and sneakers. His name was Mr. Rogers, and he talked so nicely. And sometimes he sang a little song. And he just made me feel so comfortable. I think Fred Rogers did amazing and wonderful things for our country. Would I would want Fred Rogers to lead the Third Army into battle? I don't think so. I don't think he would have been as inspiring in his sweater and sneakers, right? There's some things that Fred Rogers could do and there's some things that he couldn't do. At the same time, if he were alive, I wouldn't want George Patton to read me bedtime stories at night and tuck me in. I'd be afraid that he'd slap me around too much, but I wouldn't want that. But each could do their own thing. Who is your God? He's all of it. He is a God who wants to calm you and comfort you, so he comes as a baby in a manger, the most humble way of all, so you can know that he's coming to save you. But when he comes again, he's not coming as a baby. He's coming riding on the white stallion, the sword and blazing eyes with divine retribution to save you. He's powerful. If the Third Army would have ridden into Messina in 1943 with squirt guns on go-karts, it wouldn't have been inspiring. But when they came in with power, those people knew that they were freed. That's how your God is coming back. And that is how he is still governing the world in your life right now. So when you suffer, know that your God loves you, he cares for you, but he's powerful enough to deliver you and heal you and free you until this day comes when he leads you on a triumphant march into the city that he has prepared for you in heaven, the heavenly place called Zion. And this is what will happen. This is the last verse of our text. Those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. You will be delivered. He is coming back for you. Be patient, be strong, and rejoice. Amen. And now may the joy of our God, which goes beyond all understanding, fill our hearts and minds this day and always as we wait patiently for his return. Amen.